Hi Krishna, here we are. Haven't answered questions for a long time. Going to be doing it now. And any more questions, please send them on in. We're happy to receive them and do our best to do them justice. Here's a question from Saksha Gopal. He says, I've been listening on YouTube, some thoughts of Alvin Plantinga, a well-respected Orthodox Christian philosopher, and then he gives a link. Could you please speak about the subject of Vedic and Western epistemology? What do you think about formulating a philosophical position about the existence of God according to the Vedas using the terminology of Western philosophy as Plantinga did according to the Bible? Where can I read more about this topic? If you want to read about Vedic epistemology, then read Sandarbhas, especially Tattva Sandarbha, and commentaries on it. I haven't referred to this link that accompanied the question. And as far as epistemology is concerned, whether it be Vedic or Western, because more or less theistic arguments about the existence of God are quite similar. I wouldn't, if you ask me whether we should revamp Srila Prabhupada's teachings using Western terminology, I'd say no. I'd say Srila Prabhupada stayed away both from complex Western and Vedic or Sanskrit terminology and presented the existence of God in very layman terms, very digestible terms for everyone. And that's why Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. It's spreading, and people are becoming theists. They're becoming devotees of Krishna. They're accepting that God exists. We don't need to get into philosophical wrangling. Nowadays, people are more into technology than they are into philosophy. They're not generally trained to get into complex philosophical arguments in which ultimately all you can do is just infer the existence of God. The Vedic process, as is other processes, is based on accepting the authority of Scripture. They accept the Bible, we accept, by they I mean the Christians, we accept Vedas, we accept them as being infallible Word of God, and therefore they themselves preach, teach about who is God and what is God. That's our epistemology. And Vedas don't need to be backed up, as other real scriptures shouldn't need to be backed up, because then they lose their very self-sufficient, independent nature. The fact is that they stand on their own, and if you want to prove them, then you practice what they teach. And by that, you can come to see God face to face. So, by this simple process and logic, Srila Prabhupada inspired us to be Krishna conscious and to dedicate our lives to God. How can there be any better way of preaching or spreading Krishna consciousness? How many people became devotees of Jesus Christ from this Patinga? I don't know. But certainly do know how many devotees became devotees of Krishna by following Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So I would just stay to that. I wouldn't go any further. But aside from that, I'm not much of a philosopher. If someone wants to know more about philosophy, and then there are lots of other Vaishnavas who are well versed in the intricacies of Vedic epistemology and so on. I know what the word means, and that's sort of the limit of things. Then there's this Szuvegyes Eleonora. She's Hungarian, and she's referring to the trees and the Trinadapi sloka, saying that from trees we also learn about loss. They lose their leaves, they lose their flowers, So he says, how can we be indifferent in loss in our own lives, especially loss of loved ones? And my answer is that we don't have any alternative but to accept the inevitability of loss in this world. Krishna says, dukalayam ashashvatam. The material world is temporary. Our bodies are temporary, our homes are temporary, our family relationships are temporary. How temporary they are, we don't know. It may be through the course of a whole life. They may last for a whole life, these relationships. They may only last for a few days. But temporary they are. And we need to accept that fact. It may be dukkhalayam. It may be painful that it's temporary. But you have to accept it. You have no choice. For instance, in that example of the leaves fall. Seasons change. When fall comes, then the leaves, flowers, they fall from the trees. There's nothing that the tree can do in order to keep the leaves from falling. They will fall. Simply we need to accept the inevitability of these things. Inevitability. Real tongue. Teaser for me. The temporary nature of the material world, and follow that. I don't think that there's really much issue about it. That is called wisdom, and the teachings of Lord Krishna and the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to help us face this inevitable reality, face it bravely. It will happen. There may certainly be pain due to attachment, but that pain will neither blind us to the reality of our realities of life and our real duties in this world and our ongoing quest for attaining perfection. So let's be smarter than the trees, and let's recognize, in fact, I was just speaking about that recently to someone, that there has to be a certain level of insulation. We have to insulate ourselves in our relationships, whatever those relationships are, with the weapon of transcendental knowledge, knowing that, number one, people in their interactions with each other cause each other pain. That's something that I also experience. You can't be excessively traumatized by such things. Otherwise, how do you live? How will we go on in life if we become overwhelmed by the trauma of the inevitable painful interactions that take place in this world? So we need to, the example for instance is that of a doctor. So doctors have their Hippocratic oath. Don't get too entangled. Don't get too attached to your patients. They may get sick. They're going to die. You're not going to be able to function or perform your duty as a doctor without a certain level of distance between them. You have to be kind, you have to be considerate, but you can't be too entangled. In the same way, we need to also maintain a certain level of detachment in our own interactions. We need to be, whatever our roles that we're playing, we need to be kind, considerate, friendly, parental, and so on, either or in our relationships with our spouses. But ultimately, we need to keep in mind that it's temporary. These other people are actually strangers in the whole scope of the universal scheme. We've become attached to them due to connection, for the temporary connection, but that connection is temporary. And we should remember that it's so, and not expect anything more than what will come. And what will come will also be separation. And the next question is from Balaram Das in Hungary, who says, It's nice that we offer a lot of foods to Govardhan Lal, but wouldn't it be better to offer less, since at the end of the Govardhan Puja celebration, so much ruined prasadam or rotten prasadam is thrown out? And the answer is no. We should offer nice, opulent foodstuffs to Govardhan Lal, and we should offer more and more sweets, preferably more than just 1,000 kilos or 2,000 kilos or 3,000 kilos. We should offer as much as we can, because that's our business. But we should make plans in advance so that food doesn't go bad and that it doesn't need to be thrown out. There are so many people who are going hungry in Hungary and so many other places. We should just ensure that our Food for Life program is in place, and once the prasadam has been offered and what devotees cannot consume themselves or aren't going to take home in order to nicely take care of and eat, then we should make sure that we have a food distribution program the next day where we distribute all the food to the needy. Why should that be a problem? Just because something's troublesome, we shouldn't avoid it, but rather we should perform our duty, but do our duty in the best way possible. So we should try to please Govardhan Lal. It reminds me of this conversation Srila Prabhupada had in India, where an Indian gentleman asked him, there are so many temples in India, there's so many Krishna temples, and this was in regards to opening Juga temple. He said, why open another temple? What's the use? Why not feed people instead? And Prabhupada's answer was, do you have children? He said, yeah. He said, why do you have children? He said, there's already so many children here in India, and so many of them are hungry. Why do you have your own and instead of feeding the others? So then Srila Prabhupada answered his own question himself, because it's natural. Everyone wants to have their own children. Similarly, it's natural that one wants to serve Krishna himself directly in his own ways, according to his own means, by their own effort. Therefore, we have our own temple. So, similarly, we should also try to offer the best that we can to Krishna. We should not avoid offering the best, but we should do it in the best way. We should do it in a Krishna-conscious way, and obviously not in a way that means that there's going to be wastage, because that's also not pleasing to the Lord. Okay, that's it for today, and Hare Krishna.